So tonight's study in Philippians 2 is study 70 in a thing that we started well over a year ago, and we named it Wisdom. And we did it with the idea in mind of getting into Jack Everly's Workman's Linear. When we got down to the very vital parts of it, but we also went and looked at some of the stuff down through that time, and I haven't went back, and I used to read the onset of this thing, but it's about a page and a half, and it takes a good little bit to do that, so I kind of quit doing that. And so, but we're into the last seven books that the Apostle Paul penned after he got the mystery truth, after he got to Rome and was introduced to where he was going to stay there for a while. And so this happened about 60, 61 A.D., which is 30-something years, I guess, after Christ was on the cross. So, you know, if you go back and look at Daniel, the book of Daniel, I think you would find that all the numbers that was there added up to about 85 A.D. And so when this was allowed to be taught by Paul to the people in the world, you know, from A.D. 60, 61, or 62 was not, you know, that far away from the time that Christ was supposedly going to come back. But we realize and understand that by reading Scripture and getting understanding there, that when the Jews that God chose to begin with through the seed of Abraham were not prevalent, then I think God didn't count time as we know time. And so the importance of all this was to fill the body of Christ. And I've said it before that we all kind of know the fact that when Christ was put on the cross, he had to take the sins of mankind in order to die. And so by doing that, but that was not his finished work. The finished work was that he went and gave that blood and he got the humanity of things took care of there in the heavenly places by the Father. And he came back and he stayed with us another 40 days. And so the people that were there, many of them saw him, and a lot of them saw him, I guess, at one time. So we have the witnesses of those that saw him when he came back. But then also we realized that he went back the way he came. He went back into heaven with the promise of coming back again. And so the situation of explaining to the world all these things that we're dealing with right now, you know, that could not have been done in just a few years. So here we are about 2,000 years later, still trying to get people to understand it. And the finished work of Christ was that when he came back, that he would be full, that he would be what is called in the Greek pleroma. He would come back with, he went back into heaven with an arrangement, like he had when he was here. I mean, people could see the nail prints in his hands and all this stuff when he went back. And probably will when he comes back again. But when he comes back again, he's going to come back with his saints, and he's going to come back with the heavenly beings, I think, are those that did not follow Satan out of heaven when Satan fell, and they fell with him, because what we're going to take up tonight is part of that very thing. And so we're going to look tonight at the glorification, the rest of the glorification that is given in Philippians 2, because we looked at what it took to get him on the cross. Now we're looking at what it's going to take to get him back down here again. So, makes sense to me. So, this is done on the 11th, 25th day of 2020, and I just told Ronnie that was my wife's dog birthday, and I've still got her. And she's 10 years old, and I was born on the 25th of November up in North Carolina 10 years ago today. And they named her Sophia, but we call her Dolly. And she looks to me more like a Dolly than she does a Sophia anyway. So last time we left off with verse 9 in Philippians 2, it says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." And verse 10 was where we're going to pick up tonight. And I'll go ahead and read it in the King James, and I'll read my notes like I normally do, and then we'll look at Jack's rendering of it out of the Koine Greek and continue on there, because this is good stuff. This is really what all people should know, because I don't think we give our Lord Jesus Christ all the accolations and all the things that we should give him most any time, but this is the reason. And it says this, that at that name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that's not a very long verse, but it holds a lot of understanding. And here's my notes that said, at the name. And I said, or in the name of Jesus. Because that's the center of this verse. That every knee should bow. And I looked up in the Greek, the word bow. And it is the number in the Strong's 2578. And it means to give or to bend under. And I think the Greek word of that is kaptio. or of things or those in heaven. In heaven there is the word empyrenios in the Greek. And are the, as Jack would say, the upon heavens, which we'll probably find that out in just a minute. And things are those in earth. And that is where we pick up the word terrestrial. And it says, and things are those beings under the earth. And which I would assume that they're talking about things that are imprisoned in the deep or in the water. And I hate to really try to pronounce that word, but it's katachthonos. If I said it anywhere near right. And that word is these that are dead, or those that are entrapped, and those that shall yet be returned up to give him glory. Meaning also angels and demons of the abyss. And it says in the notes in the Companion Bible that with that all will know him. So, talking about every knee should bow, well, when Christ comes back, it's my understanding that he's going to put everything under his feet. And he is going to sum up the Father wanted him to do when he does come back. And so we have several places here that Jack wants to look at, but let's read it in the Koine Greek to begin with. Verse 10 says this, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, from upon heaven and upon earth and under the earth, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, from upon heaven and upon earth and from down under the earth. And then Jack wrote this with it. It said, that precious name, both gentle and awesome, because we know that it can be either or both at the same time, deserve the sum total of the praise of mankind. Not only that, but all minions of the regions of the heavenlies. To bow the knee is a small humility in the face of the accomplishments that were completed of our Savior and head. Let all know, and unknown creatures alike, give homage and praise to that wonderful name, that name of Jesus. And he left us a list to look at, which we certainly need to do with this verse of Scripture. And I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the book of Psalms. We're going to do three places while we're in Psalms. And let's see, page 723 is where the first one is. Okay. I'm getting there. It takes me a little while to get my book unfurled because the note where I've got them marked out here. Psalms 1, verse 4. Well, let's just look at verses 1 through 4. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Because, you know, during Psalms, they had the law. And that was to show them the way. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth his fruit in his season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That sounds like the trees planted by the water that came out of under the throne of God that we find in Revelations. That when all things is made right again, this is going to take place. And I guess this water will be the water of the earth for that time. And let's look at verse 4. This is what we come to look at. It said, but the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. So they, those that do not know the Lord, or do not have the Lord, or do not live under the law of God, are like the wind that blows the chaff when the grain is cleaned. Yep. In the threshing floor, it's blown away because it's of no use.
Yep.
So if it's not of any use to man, the example here is like that. If it's no good to the use of man, then man is no good to the use of God without the goody being there. If no, you want to call it that.
No seed to it.
Yeah, no, there's no... no seed
no
heart.
Worth.
No seed heart there in that thing. Okay. Now, while we're in Psalms, let's just look at another one. Let's go to Psalm 65. And, yeah, I got it marked off. It's on page 779, if you got a companion Bible. And, let's see, Psalm 65, we're going to read 12 and 13. It says, they drop upon the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. Talking, of course, about this grain again, and the water that brings it. And the pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. And they shout for joy, and they also sing. So this is showing you that in God's realm, when things are good and there is no famine, and there is that water that floweth, that God provides. And he has provided us with something that we weren't we really didn't deserve. And that was the blood of his son. And none of us could deserve what he did for us. So let's look at one more place in Psalms. I want to go to Psalms 148. And Psalms 148 starts on 862. But we're going to read all of Psalms 148 on page 862 if you have a companion Bible. Okay? If you don't have a companion Bible, Psalms 148 is there somewhere towards the end.
Yeah, there's 150 chapters.
Yeah, it says, okay, Psalms 148 reads this way, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his host. Praise ye him, sun and moon. And praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heaven of heavens. And ye waters that be above the heavens. You hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Still there.
Still there. Let them praise the name of the Lord. He gives us these little bits occasionally that we might get a little nudge in our mind and in our heart to look and see what he's talking about. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commandeth, and they were created. You know, that was the will of the Son. When the Father wanted something done, the Son took care of it. Just the way it, I guess it was meant to be. He hath also established them forever and ever. And he hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind, fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all the people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. And I like to add all to this next verse, let them all praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is excellent. His glory is above or goes beyond the earth and heaven. And he also exalteth the horn of his people. The praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. So that's Psalms 148, talking about praise in the name of or at the name of Jesus. Okay, let's look at the rest of them. Let's look at Romans 8 for just a minute. I'll have to go to Romans 8. Occasionally I like to go to Romans 8 and start there and just read on for a while. Romans 8, let's look at 19 through 22. Okay, I went one page too far. Okay, it's on page 1678 if you have a companion Bible. And it says this, for the earnest expectation of the creature, or the creature, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Because the war between God and Satan goes on, and there is no peace in the parts of the earth. It seems to be working overtime lately quite often. So I'd like to go back to Matthew and Matthew 28. Jack put all this in here that we need to look at and see. And he did it certainly for a reason. Because where better can you go to get the witness of God than to go to God's Word? Because, you know, this book speaks of itself. And this is a book that's different from other books, and this is the reason why we had it. And we're going to look at on page 1380. And we're going to look at Matthew 28:19. And it says this, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and though I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Okay, couple of three more. Let's go to Acts 4. And Acts 4, we're looking at page 1584. Okay, and we're going to look at least start in verse 12. Let's go back to verse 10 because it makes a lot of sense to do that. "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of your builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, full stop. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Acts 4, 10 through 12. Okay, let's go on a little further. Let's go to Ephesians. Not far from where we are now in Philippians. But there's three places in Ephesians. We want to look at 1:20. on page 1762. It says, which he wrought in Christ, which he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers, mights, and minions, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And this tells you right there about the fullness of the, of Christ. He is the head. And he is now operating toward filling that which needs to be full in order that he might appear. I think that's probably the next thing to come. Okay. Let's look at Ephesians 5:20 for just a minute. Just turn a page or two over. Ephesians 5:20. That's on page 1768. And it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Okay. One more. No, that's the only two it was in Ephesians. Let's go now and look at Revelations 5:13. I thought there was three there, but it wasn't. Revelations 5:13. Okay, that's on page 1891, 5:13 says this, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Okay, so that's what goes with that one verse that we kind of covered there. And there were other things, I guess, that we could have looked at and said, yeah, that goes along with it. But that gives you the idea that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, or upon heaven, as Jack says, and upon earth and things under the earth. Then we get to verse 11. And verse 11 says this in the King James Version, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that's pretty self-expressed, that every tongue or mouth should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord or head to the glory of God the Father. Okay. About three or four places here that we need to look at this one too. And, you know, tongue and mouth kind of go together. So, you need them both to be able to speak or converse with other individuals. And so a mouth without a tongue is not very much, I don't think. And a tongue without a mouth would not be able to construct the syllables that we need to talk with one another. So that's pretty much a given there in verse 11. And let's see what Jack said about it in verse 11. So in the Koine Greek, it says this, and every tongue should confess that Lord Jesus Christ unto glory of God. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ, Lord, unto the glory of God Father. And so, excuse me, Jack wrote this, the wagging tongue or tongues of earthly history have finally something worthwhile to occupy their efforts. The confession, praise, and adulation of mankind have a topic which can rightly evoke all the attention and the analyst that earthly and heavenly trumpeters can summon. Jesus Christ, Lord, for there is no other worship acceptable or deserved than Lord. God the Father should be praised for his plan of the ages and solicitude toward mankind, though undeserved. Remember, the name is higher than the highest that creatures can muster. And there's three places here that Jack mentioned that we need to look at. Matthew 3, Romans 14, and 2 Corinthians 5. So let's look at Matthew 3, 6. And it seems like lately we get back to Matthew quite a lot in Philippians and the things leading up to this. Matthew 3:6. Yeah, Matthew 3:6. This is talking about one that was looked upon as maybe being the one that was to come, but he says he wasn't the one. He was only the cousin of the one that did come. Matthew 3:6. Well, let's go back to 4:3-4. And the same John, or John the Baptist, had his raiments of camel hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. And they went out to him, Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. And many of them done that. Many of them thought that this was the one maybe that had been spoken of in Scripture that was going to come, but John the Baptist straightened them out a little bit further on down in that part of Scripture because he wasn't the one they were looking for. He said there's one coming that basically he said, I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes.
Yep.
Okay, Romans 4. And it seems like kind of like a pattern has been established here. We go from Matthew to Romans. Let me get on the right page here. Romans 4:11. We'll just start at 10. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. That's not right. 4:11. Says this. I'll be on the right one in just a minute here. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also who walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Because when God chose Abraham, Abraham was yet uncircumcised also. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:10. See if we can find that. Getting there. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5:10. And Paul wrote this to straighten, trying to straighten the Corinthians out. Wait a minute, I'm in 1 Corinthians 5:10. Let me get in 2 Corinthians. And I had it marked out in my Bible too, but it must be. Okay, here we go. Oh, after you get about 20 of these things in your Bible, it's hard to work it out. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Okay. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. So, you know, we talk about the things of the law, and there is one of the things that was mentioned here concerning that he come to his own. And we've come to a point in our studies to where we know that the Lord Jesus is our Lord or our head to the glory of God the Father. But he is also the same to those that were of Abraham's seed, because he came unto his own. And they said, no, we don't want him. We'd rather just take Barabbas, put him on the stake. So, you know, we skip through and we read these things and we go back and forth between dispensations and that we go to do that in order to get the witness of the book. And we've got to remember that we got to rightly divide it as we go along.
Amen.
So, let's go to verse 12. How much time we got left, right?
9:22.
Okay, and we'll do 12. We'll get three verses maybe tonight. So back to the King James Version, it says in Philippians 2:12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in mine absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So this is now we've gone down from the seven parts of the glorification to some of the stuff that we need to understand and be told. Wherefore, it says in 12, or because of this, my beloved. And this is the Father's word, and this is an adjective talking about beloved. The greatly loved one. This is the adjective of love. And this word is concerning his son, Jesus. That's the Father's lovely word that he talks about when he talks about his son, Jesus. And this is how Paul talks about those that he has won the Christ and that he is sending this letter back to, that they will get great joy out of it. Because Philippians is the golden thread in Philippians is the word joy or love or beloved. And it says, And Paul speaks as kind of like Christ would. He says, as ye have always obeyed, as Christ obeyed the Father, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. He says, work out with fear and trembling your own salvation, because these people, if they had the Holy Spirit in them and were led and guided by the Holy Spirit, then at this point in his writings to them, they should have by now understood, kind of like it was when Christ was with his people, they probably shown him in his teaching what they should be doing. And Paul has done the same thing, and he says, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Paul says, just because I'm not with you doesn't mean it isn't necessary. With fear and trembling, look into your own salvation. Okay? Now here we go with this. And there's a few of these too. In this verse. But let's look at what Jack says in verse 12 in the Koine Greek. He says, so that, beloved, my even as always, ye be. Not as in presence of me only, but rather now much more in the absence of me, with fear and trembling, the of you salvation work out. And bring it down to today's English. So that my beloved, even as always, you obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now rather, much more in my absence, with fear and trembling, work out your salvation. Jack says this is not to be understood to be worked for, but rather the word says work out. You have been saved and given a start in life, in age life. Work out that life. Don't be taken to the side by mistakes and backsets. Stay on the path. Fear him as you have worked to carry out Paul's admonitions. Carry out your salvation with fear and diligence. You are always in the presence of God.
Amen.
Okay? Now, let's look at the notes there. We're going to go to Colossians, which is only a few pages over. We're going to start in Colossians. We're going to look at Colossians 1, 10, and 11. And we're going to get a little dose of Colossians before we get into Colossians. That you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, be fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. It is always a time to learn God's will and what He has left for us. And it says in verse 11, strengthen with all might according to his glorious power, and to all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet or fit to, or eligible to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Okay, that was page 1781. We're going to go to Colossians 2:6. Next page over, I guess, if you have a companion Bible. And it says in verse 5, and we'll start with 5, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding in your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And I thought that was a good verse to add to that, since tomorrow is truly Thanksgiving here.
Amen.
And uh, Well, let's just read on to verse 10 because that's where the next one is. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. This is verse 8:28. After the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily wise. I know it just says bodily, but Brother Larry used to talk to us about this. He always used bodily wise there in that situation. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and powers. So where are you going to be with him? If you're going to be in his body, you're going to be complete in him. He has given you completeness by that spirit that will be put in you when you appear with him. And it says, he is the head of all principality and power. This is what his inheritance is. It may be above the waters of the heaven. Who knows? Who knows what he has out there? And we don't know that yet. Okay. Let's go on and try to get done with this. Let's go back to Proverbs for just a minute. If I can find it. Okay, Proverbs. Jack says, well, look at this. Proverbs 1:7. I thought I had a, I guess I did. No, I never did put a
marker there.
Marker there. Maybe I run out. Proverbs 8:65 says this. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord, and we've read it before. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So it says this. But fools despise wisdom and instructions. So it was very necessary that I guess we get that. And then Proverbs 15, and I've got that marked. Proverbs 15:33, page 886. And it's the last verse in Proverbs 15. It says, the fear of the Lord is the instructions of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So we talk about the fear of the Lord here in two places. But we really need to realize that wisdom or knowledge goes along with each one of those. Okay? Now, let's go back to Romans for just a minute. I tell you what. Romans 6. Jack's got into Romans a good bit lately. Romans 6. Let me get on the right page. 18. Romans 6. 18 through 23. It says, being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, and unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit hath ye then in those things where you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, Paul's got another but now here. Being made free from sin and become servants unto God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is the eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. We've got two places to go and we'll close. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. We are all children of light, and the children of the day. We're not of the night, nor darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Go with me to 1 Peter. We'll... 1 Peter 1:17. And it says in 1 Peter 1:17 on 1856 in the Strong and the Companion Bible, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here or on this earth, you need to do it in fear. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by traditions of your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so we get through that of verse 12. So we'll pick up verse 13. Next time and go on with that, Lord willing. And please remember me also, because I've had a little problem with blood in my urine, but it's, I think right now it's fairly well straightened out, but I gotta go next Wednesday for a scan to make sure. But I think I'm having another go around with maybe a kidney stone, and I don't know where I passed it or not, but I feel like that I might have. And so I've kind of hung around this week and got fat and maybe a little sassy, I don't know. But anyway, I have just backed off on cutting wood, but somebody knocked on the door a while ago, and I went to the door, and they brought me another piece of a load of wood. So, I don't know when I'll get that worked out, but anyway, my in-laws and outlaws and friends that I have in the community, they make sure that I'm going to, if nothing else, that I'm going to stay warm.
Stay warm.
They may not feed me, but they'll keep me warm. So God bless them all, and we love all y'all, and we'll certainly remember those that were mentioned, and my brother's son, my grandson, that's the fireman over at North Greenville. Over there, they have an old Air Force base over there, and he's a fireman there. And they still have an airport there with runways and all that. So he's still doing that part-time and trying to sell a little bit of land here in Yonner, but he has got, he's under quarantine with the COVID deal. So, I went and ate with him last week, but I don't know where I missed it or not, but I've felt better today than I've felt in a long time. So maybe the Lord let me slip by on that one. I'm not sure. But remember Scott McCurry, too. He is a young man trying to make it through life and working two or three different things. And I don't know how well he's doing any of them, but evidently he's trying to. So thank you, and remember those of ours that are hurting, the saints here that are hurting and in need, and our friends in the community here that we continue to lose folks, and we got another McAllister going in the hospital in a week or a little better than a week from now to get an aneurysm taken care of. And that's open heart surgery. So remember Tim McAllister. Good old boy. Been with us a long time in the fire service.
Yeah.
Thank you for all them, and God bless, and have a good meal tomorrow, and thank the Lord for it, because he deserves all the praise that you can give him, because all these things are his. He just allows us to get these things. So, yeah. Let's really make it a day of Thanksgiving. So.